The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. And I like to put a spin on that and say always. This is Remark. And no, this is not the voice of Garth Roseboro. It is the voice of yours truly, Gabby, filling in today. And we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful show today. I'm so excited because one thing about Garth, he's a smooth fella, you know. And I know he, wherever he is right now, listening and tuning in, got you as a smooth fella. And I could tell you why you're a smooth fella later. I ain't gonna call you out on radio. But I'm always grateful for the opportunity when I can sit in these spaces with you and be in your company. But today, I am not alone. I am not alone. And I am always so happy when I can be on the side of nation builders, you know, knowledgeable persons who can help add to the conversation. Because God always say, you know, y'all gotta listen, y'all gotta seek wisdom. So we often have a lot of persons calling into shows, texting into shows, and today, sitting with me in my company, I will allow him to introduce himself to you. It's a very familiar voice. Please go ahead and introduce yourself to the Bahamian people.
Well, good afternoon, Bahamian people. My name is Jeffrey Delavaux. Everyone knows me very well, especially maybe not in person, but would have heard my contributions that I make to the various shows on Guardian Radio, especially as they relate to improvements of assets in the nation or just nation building as a whole.
Well, it's so good to have you, Mr. Delavaux. I know this is going to be definitely a very, very good show now that we have you in company and you're not limited to that minute. You know, God got us on a minute time up. You're not limited to that minute, so you can really add to the conversation. And there has been a long, long week, and I want to kind of summarize the week in review today. So callers, I want to throw numbers very, very quickly because today's show is for you and about you today. So the numbers to call in is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the wonderful, beautiful family of islands, 242-300-5720. And of course, the text line for our lovely texters is 422-4796. So you can definitely be a part of today's conversation here on Remark. And today, before we go into our first break, I wanted us to kind of talk about, Mr. Delavaux, I want us to talk about all of these hot button issues we've been hearing about in news, hearing about on various stations and programs. And I want to kind of bring it together to tie it in a nice bow for what our people love to hear about, the politics of it all. And today, I really want to talk about a comment was made in the news recently that by a former member of parliament for Tall Pines, Mr. Leslie Miller. And he stated that the Progressive Liberal Party is poised for a second term. due to all the wonderful things, programs, and initiatives that are that is going on today. So when we look at that, what a second term means, Bahamians, you know, and our history has shown over the past 30 years that we eject governments, that we tell them, go home, pack up your papers. The last time I think a government would have won would have been 1997 when Ingram was elected for the second time, the second term. So that wouldn't have been when people was just tired of the PLP. That would have been, they said, you did a good job. We're giving you another chance. Here you go. Keep going, keep doing what you're doing. But other than that, we've seen governments just ousted, sent home packing. The Bahamian people said, we've had enough of you. We're just going to try these other set over here. And we've seen, obviously, that in a two-party system. We've had a lot of third parties emerge, but none of them seeming to get that momentum that is needed to take them over the hump and withstand the course of the weather. So call us today, I really want, and Jeff, I really want us to talk about, do you think based on everything that's going on in healthcare, in immigration, the cost of living, housing, all of these put together, the improvements, is the Progressive Liberal Party, the PLP, the government, the administration of today, as of today's date, poised, like Mr. Miller would have said, for a second term? Jeff, what do you think about that?
Well, basically, listening to your opening salvo, and also being someone who is on the ground, you know, you hear the various comments from PLPs, FNMs, those who support the Coalition of Independence, those other persons who are not affiliated with any parties at all. And I'm going to basically try to make this very succinct. To hear those words basically from someone who has been in the political realm for most of my life, you know, from a little boy, he has been in politics. And I'm going to tell you, based on the rumblings on the ground, I would not basically dismiss the opportunity of the Progressive Liberal Party to attain a second term. Basically, because, you know, the party is one of the, if not the oldest party in the country. Everybody knows the Progressive Liberal Party. They know what the party stood for, the foundation of the party. Well, not a whole lot of persons, but sufficient persons know it. Then you have those that, because Grammy and Grandpa, Daddy and Mommy were PLPs, they also were basically indoctrinated to be PLPs without understanding what the true essence of the PLP is all about. Now, people talk a good talk, okay? Mm. And I'm that type of person, having also supported the PLP in my earlier years, especially under the Lyndon Pillen administration, when a lot of us would say that the PLP was the PLP. Today, a lot of persons, even those in the ranks of the PLP, because I have friends in the PLP, you have many of them who are really disgruntled, because the party that is supposed to be the standard bearer of prosperity for the Bahamian people, that is not really felt on the ground in the manner that we would have really liked it to be. Now, a lot of persons would argue, well, you know, you talk about the conditions of world events, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth, but In the interest of time, where the Bahamian people right now are struggling in this country with all of the millions and billions of dollars traversing the country, millions of dollars are being spent in one location, next one being spent. And guess what? I'm all tying this in under this administration.
Wow. So I want to find out, though, with this caller things, because this is an open line today, and I want to hear from you, the Bahamian people. Caller, what say you?
Good day, how are you all?
Good day, we're good.
Okay, I have a couple of points. This PLP that in power today, they are not going to win a second time. They are not Mr. Hubert Ingram government. He is not like Mr. Ingram. Mr. Ingram, when he says he can do something, he does it. Mr. Brady is far from that. This government, you can rely on them. They're not answering no question. If they are not doing it now, if they win a second time, they'll be looking to you like dirt. They're not the government to be sent home. They not deserve a second time. They need to send them home packing. They are finished and they are gone.
So, caller, do you think the current climate right now, if an election was called today, this government would not be returned to office?
They're already gone. They don't know. They are trying, but they are far from it. They already finished. They're gone. People ain't into them no more. They're gone.
Wow. Thank you so much, caller.
Well, very interesting comments from that caller. Primarily, my main concern is we know that we have a lot of persons who are party polarized. Mm. It isn't even about what the party has already achieved or what they haven't achieved. The bottom line here is, you know, like I said, the PLP is the oldest political organization in this country. This is where majority rule came in. They pioneered that. They brought that in. And people who really understand the PLP, they're actually, a lot of them, because I talk to them, they always talk about the Lyndon Pinling era. And the party is riding on that premise.
You don't think that this Davis administration has brought in its own sort of premise that people can stand on and something they believe in? But I want to find out from this caller. Caller, go ahead. What do you think?
Good afternoon. How are you all doing?
Good afternoon. We're doing well. How are you?
Good. I think this Progressive Liberal Party here would get a handsome second term in office.
Wow. Handsome second term.
There are some things that need to be done. The PLP is about a year and a couple of days out.
Mm-hmm.
When they line up their candidates, they got to switch some candidates. When they line up their slate of candidates, then I'll be able to call back and tell you I would be accurate, but I'd be close to the margin that they would win by. You asked the caller just before me if election was called today. What would happen? Can I tell you this without a shadow of a doubt?
Go ahead.
If election is called today, I would almost believe If the COI can mass stab about 3 to 4 seats in this condition right now, the COI would end up being the opposition.
Wow. Do you think it's that bad, caller?
Let me tell you why I said that, though, madam. Please allow me.
Go ahead.
The FNM is crumbling right before the FNM eyes. Every time they have an event, there's a group that leaves the party. Politics is a numbers game.
It is.
If there's 10 people in the race, I only get 4. But 3 other people only get 2 apiece. I still win. Okay? Now, if there's 10 people that is voting, The FNM has a base. You must give it to them. They have a base. They have some people who vote FNM. I don't care what happened.
Much like the PLP.
Whatever happened, the people who vote PLP.
Correct.
Before them, PLP vote something as they rather just don't vote. Okay? Now, once you're against the PLP, you're in opposition. Whether you want to be a COI, whether you want to be an independent, whether you want to be an FNM, you are in opposition.
Okay, caller.
Okay, so the opposition then has to share now the opposition vote. I won't tell you they might get 1 or 2 people if they are good opposition, a third party opposition or an independent candidate. They might get 1 or 2 people from the PLP. I'll be naive and dumb to say that. They might be able to persuade 1 or 2 people from the PLP. But the PLP base, it is hard to rock. Then Dr. Nordis with the CDR try rocked the PLP base. The PLP end up winning. And whenever you have a strong third party like the DNA, the CDR, the COI, the PLP bound to win. The PLP can't lose if you have a strong third party.
The numbers have shown
The third party only gets people from the opposition. See, in order to beat the government, you have to get people from the government. You have to weaken the government link. The third party, most of the third party people is the people who was voting PLP anyhow.
Wow.
They're voting FNM. So all they do now is weaken the FNM.
So then you're showing, Carla, you're saying there's an inconsistency in the opposition base.
It's a big.
Mm.
It is a big. But, madam, let me say this in closing. Whenever the FNM has an event, the next morning a group of people leave. Check it out. Every time.
Thank you so much, Carla. Thank you for your input. And the numbers do paint a story, though, when we look at it, even in terms of the PLP's ascension to office in the last general election. Voter turnout was extremely low. It was abysmal, Jeff. It was at an all-time low, if not the lowest.
The lowest in the
I believe, in the country, in the history of general elections. And now we're going to have to measure if that was just because of the pandemic. And we don't have statistics or data, anything to measure it by. So it could have been for a myriad of reasons. Because COVID was around, persons were afraid to put their hands in an indelible ink. They wasn't sure how it was being passed. We were still under lockdown. So people were afraid really to come outside. So there was still a fear. Now this election is going to paint a bigger picture for us. It is going to tell us, because even with COVID, like the caller would have just said, the PLP's base, when you look at the numbers, the margin of win didn't shift much. The numbers dramatically dropped for the FNM, but not the PLP. So the FNM is going to have to work overtime, Jeff.
Well, the bottom line here is with all of the chatter in the market during the last election, it is claimed that a lot of the FNMs decided to remain at home. They didn't come out to vote. And then adding the pandemic with all the uncertainties, with all the misinformation, you know, persons are saying, well, you know, you talk about the indelible ink, you talk about people are afraid to come out because they don't know who was sick or not. The safety protocols in place for the election, they figure with people being so close and the fear of catching the COVID virus, that made the voter turnout really, really terrible. The thing is, what we have to understand here is, despite the fact that the Progressive Liberal Party has a huge base, the FNM party also has a huge, huge base.
Mm-hmm.
But we all could admit to ourselves that even though, well, if the FNM stay at home and you get the mass of the PLP voters coming out, yes, they will carry the election, but the numbers would be very low, but they still carry it. But we understand that the majority of election wins in this country was for any one of the two political parties was basically forged with
by people the swing, sending them
home. What we call the swing voters.
The swing voters, yep.
Yep, the swing voters are responsible, really, for one party or the other winning elections. So this is something that we also, you know, it's a number of factors that has to be considered here. But in my closing words on this one, you know, I would say, you know, the gentleman, he is quite correct, only because the PLP is a large group. But you have a lot of disenfranchised PLPs that has left that party. I'm not saying that it is sufficient enough to really impact.
But has that really put a dent into? Because we've seen the PLP sort of at this point. But then again, they still come out to vote for their parties. Carla, what say you on this? Is the Progressive Liberal Party poised for a second term in office?
Hello.
Hi, you're live.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Everything's good with me. What you say, Jeff?
Hey, what's saying, my brother?
Yeah, boy, Jeff, you're right on spot. Hey, let's make a test. The PLP, they have been in that election because, like Jeff said, a lot of the African people didn't turn out because the same thing with the pandemic. But this one, you're going to be different, way different. This one, you're going to be way different than that. And then you got to realize this too now. We got a lot of the PLP swing voters too. You got a lot of them are swing voters. But this election year, I think they can get demolished.
You think the Progressive Liberal Party is going to be demolished?
Yes, man. It's so, and it's because there's nothing they're doing right now that's satisfying the people in this country.
Mm-hmm. But is there going to be a voter apathy, though? Are people going to be either irritated and just say, because you feel like there's nothing happening for me, I'm not going to vote for anyone? Or is it going to be like we've seen historically that they say, because nothing's happening for me, I don't feel any sort of economic relief, any sort of health relief, any sort of relief, period, I am going to just vote against you, as we've always seen historically.
You see, but now, people right now have enough chance right now to sit down and see what's going on in their country. You know what I mean? This is the time now for people them to have to come out and vote right now. This is the time right now to be just picking it or trying to. They're always going like this because the PLP ain't doing that. Just go over the FNM. They need to sit down and see if we go over the FNM, if it wouldn't be the same, like how it ought to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like we all talk about the crime. You know, this party talking about murder rate height and everything, all of this and that. But now when they get in power, the murder rate get higher and higher and higher on their watch. So you know what I mean? It's like nothing changing. They're not changing no laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. You know, and the BMA people are already fed up. Like me, a man like me, 47 years old, they cannot swing me no more. And I used to campaign. I used to be with the DNA. So mm-hmm. I campaign all over this town. Jeff can tell you.
Wow.
Campaign all over. So they can't, a lot of people in this country hurting. I don't know why. They don't have nothing to lose.
Mm.
They don't have nothing to lose.
Wow.
I
did
for pork sale. All over this town, and people, I hear the cries of people. I see the foreigners living better than the Bahamian people. Them.
Wow.
And how you could get swing for a door or a roof, and then next 5 years, you asking for next door, and you get the front door, and now you're asking for a back door. You understand where I'm from? So it's the Bahamian people are so easy to swing. I mean, I don't understand what's going on, man.
Well, thank you so much, caller. We're going to take our first break. Caller, I see you on the line. We'll get your call right after the break. But this is Remark with Gabby, and guest in studio today is none other than Jeff. We'll be right back.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
FM Guardian Radio. This is Remark, and if you're just joining us, your host today is none other than my lovely, illustrious self. You know, I got to put some lotion on there, rub myself up. I don't have to wait for y'all to compliment me. I got to lotion myself down. This is Gabby today in your company, sitting in for Garth. Garth is taking a much-needed break, and I don't even think he's breaking on his break, but I know he's listening in. Hello, Garth. Take it easy today. Your show is in good hands. But caller, we're talking today about, is the PLP poised for a second term in office? Caller, what say you?
Miss Gabby.
Hi.
Listen to me. Let me say hi to your mom. And I had to call back. I was paused to call back. I was sitting here.
Yes, sir.
I had to call back. Sorry for calling back.
No problem, no problem.
I said earlier that politics is a numbers game.
Yes, sir.
The FNM has already named some 24 candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Some 24 candidates. If the government go with the set now of 39 constituencies, you only need 20 to win. You only need 20 seats to win to be the government. The FNM have already named 24 candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, that 24, me, I'm talking for me. Three of them might. But one for sure will get back in. That's Adrian White. He can get back in. But the other two candidates, I think, but there's
so right now they currently have how many members sitting in opposition? You don't think Michael Pintado is going to be reelected?
No, Michael Pintado's name wasn't called yet.
Okay, because you said they might get one.
The candidates that
are ratified. Okay,
ratified already.
Okay, ratified already.
I don't know if there might be a Marco C for Michael Pintado to go in.
Oh Lord, Jesus, what is this today?
I don't know. They got to put him someplace. He's a leader. The chairman.
So you're trying to say the PLP playing chess right now on that?
The chairman of the party, which is really the hands on to the public.
Mm-hmm.
You mean he couldn't ensure if he going into Elizabeth or what? I know there will be an Elizabeth, but I'm not sure that they're the little things. But back to what I want to say quickly, the 24 candidates that was named already. Name me any five of them you think could win. I give you Sinanz. You could add that into five.
Lincoln Deal, Danielle Penn.
Hold on. According to who the candidate that the PLP puts in Sutton Shore?
I think Danielle Penn is gonna definitely stand a
candidate. See, I'm talking real talk. I'm talking PLP talk. I'm talking nationalist talk.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Penn can stand a chance according to the candidate that the PLP puts in Sutton Shore.
Well, the PLP has a candidate currently now, eh? He said he wasn't going to run. They have a current member of parliament, but I mean...
Yeah, I don't think he's running no more.
He's not running anymore,
no,
but...
No.
If they were to
run Ms. Penn against him,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Penn would beat him like 4 or 5 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a PLP. If Ms. Penn runs against Leroy Major... Ms. Penn would beat Leroy Major at least 4 to 5 to 1. I'll be disappointed.
So then we can't have this conversation until we see who's the matchup.
We're talking for the candidate so far.
So there isn't a candidate there so far, but she's been ratified for the FNL.
Let me do it quick as I can. I want my friend to join in the studio. Mm-hmm. He could help me out good with this. Let's go with Anglesey.
Well, automatically, from the standpoint as of now, it's still Glenisanna Martin.
Yeah, but I'm talking about if election was called
today?
In the morning.
Today?
With the candidate that is in Anglesey against Ms. Hannah Martin.
I still believe that it'd still be Hannah Comer. I mean, sorry, Dennis Hannah.
Martin. Okay. All right. Let's go with Deal in Freetown.
I think Deal will definitely take Freetown. Freetown
no,
is...
let me tell you why he can't.
Why he can't take Freetown.
He has a lot of better chance up in Killarney.
I think Deal can still take Freetown.
Deal right now, I don't know him personally. I know his dad mm-hmm. and his uncle. Me and his dad used to be in a breakfast club at VG's in Palmdale one time.
Mm-hmm.
Deal is going to be hard, but Deal could... Waking Freetown on the outskirts like the Blair and the Paradise Island and the dot.
Mm-hmm.
But then hitting the belly of the Camp Road area.
But how much Camp Road is about one bowling division or so if you really look
no,
at
but
the...
No, but what I'm saying, you have to look with where the bigger bowling divisions are. The Camp
yeah,
Road
but Camp Road isn't... If you look at the numbers, Camp Road is usually split in terms of their votes. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really play a big dent. So I'm going to give you some homework to look at those numbers there. See how much Wayne, what happened is Diagola's votes decrease. Wayne's really didn't increase,
no.
Which goes back to what we were talking about earlier today. So that's why I could say confidently, I think there was a lot of different aspects, like we were saying, because we don't have another election to compare it to.
Okay. I give you that.
Yes.
I gotta look at that again, but let me give you the last one before I go.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be interesting to, the two last two, which is going to be interesting to watch? Killarney.
Mm-hmm.
Killarney is going to be very interesting. Now, Dr. Menace is out on his own, out front. I think he's leading in that race. What will help Dr. Menace more if Dr. Menace pull a Pair de Puch or a Tennyson Wells, cut a deal with the PLB.
Mm-hmm.
And the PLB don't run a candidate, then he automatically wins.
Well, that's what his friend
Miller was saying, because he was saying he is suggesting that the PLP do not put a candidate.
There are some seats, like Killarney. The PLB have won Killarney once, and that was under Neville Wisdom. And that was Delaporte at the time. It wasn't even Killarney.
Yeah.
But it was the same area. They changed the name.
Well, we definitely can continue this conversation once the Boundary Commission come back with the last one.
This is one I really wanted to get to. Fort Charlotte.
Oh, well.
Do you think Travis Robinson moved too quickly to being in Grandstand, or he got pushed out of being in Grandstand?
I think he made a decision. I don't think he was pushed anywhere. I think he made a conscious decision that he would like to try
because
his hand in that.
You know what his legacy? You know what he wanted his legacy to be? That he retired to Jabbernaut or politics in the poison of Dr. Bernard Nodis and Alfred Sayers. But he got hold in this one.
Well, we'll have to see who the PLB candidate is, but thank
everybody
you so
much. The PLB is going to run to by
standard. That's
no secret.
Thank you so much for calling. Let me get the next caller. Call you on there. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Miss Gabby.
Good afternoon. I'm here with Jeff as well.
And good afternoon to Mr. Jeff.
Hey,
good
buddy.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How's your mother doing?
She's doing better. Thank you so much for asking. I was supposed to say that at the top of the show. Thank you so much for all your calls, prayers, and texts. She has been released from hospital. She was in there for about 3 weeks, but she's at home now, recovering, doing much better.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you know, there's no foreigners living better than me in this Bahamas. That's number one. Number two, I don't know too much about the COLI. But the FNM, we know who they are. It's the same leader that is who's leading the FNM now. He was still already. He didn't do nothing. And he know what it's worth. It's only old faces coming back in. So where's the changes? It's no changes because those new settlers coming in now, it looked to me like they trying to see who could get the most women to run and say, well, I get the most and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yes, there's some things the PLP need to do, but I will give the PLP another run again.
You'll give the PLP another chance, caller?
I'll give them another chance again because they're the same set who we see. The FNM is the same. If anything different, it's the same thing. It's just like putting on your shirt backwards. It's the same shirt. You only have it on backwards. You see? So I will give them another run. And like the old people say, it ain't going. It coming. And we all will see what is what. Thank you so kindly.
Thank you so much. So that's another caller. Caller, what say you? You're live on the air. PLP yes. Poised for a second term?
Well, I will put it like this. I also be on the streets, and I hear a lot of things, and I find myself daily having to convince people to get up, register, and go and vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The majority of people
saying they ain't voting
are fed up, and they're saying they're not even voting.
They're not even going to register.
So I feel that.
So what does that mean for the PLP? So if people are just fed up and don't vote, and you have the party loyalists that are, it doesn't matter, like the caller previously said, it doesn't matter what happens, they're going to put on their shirts, they're going to go to the polls, they're going to mark their X and exercise their constitutional right. So if you decide to sit at home, what does that mean for this government or the opposition hoping to get into government?
Well, you see, well, the PLP, like the previous caller said, have a strong base.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the majority of people who are fed up stay at home, I think the PLP will win the next government of the Bahamas. Now, bear in mind, I believe that this election coming up, we will have the lowest voter turnout in history.
You think it's going to be even lower than COVID numbers?
It's going to be lower than COVID.
But, wow, that is going to be sad.
Yes, unless they do something to motivate the Bahamian public to come out there and go and vote, despite the long lines or despite the inclement weather,
yes,
we're going to have a very low turnout.
Okay.
Very low. That's my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, caller.
To
the corner callers, we hear you every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to keep banging the same message on every show that comes on Guardian Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things I'm hearing today, I've heard all week. Ah, so don't jump from show to show to show to show with the same message. Now, I know you might be getting paid or whatever the case may be, but sometimes come with new thoughts and new ideas and new incentives. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Carla.
And you know, he makes a very interesting comment. You know, we, a person such as myself, you know, when you critiquing any administration, you know, it's always best when you can come up with some ideas on how you feel you may be able to propel the country forward. Now, the question is, with your ideas, would the leaders of the country listen? And this happens to be one of the critical cries on the ground right now. A lot of persons feel that this administration does not truly listen to the Bahamian people. And because of this, you know, with the myriad of ideas, you know, I just sat in my car before coming into the studio, and I actually pondered, you know, with all of these issues that the country is facing today, and I've been talking about some of these issues go back some 30, 40 years, you can tell me, even up to, you know, one or two from the Pinlin administration, you know, you can tell me we are now at this point, and still yet, we're still talking about the same things from way back then.
I saw an article the other day, an old article from when Pinlin was prime minister, and he was, one of his ticket items was to address the cost of living.
Yep.
And the cost of living has continued to skyrocket. But Carla, what say you?
Well, I don't want to get into who's going to win or who's going to lose, but this is what I would say, right? I don't know if all of these callers who say in the PLP is going to win. I don't think they factor in the real problems this country is facing. I really don't believe that Bahamians are that lousy. I would hate to believe that they would sit down and to allow what is being portrayed. Now, we can't say what is happening with the immigrant situation.
But that's a big problem.
I think that's going to definitely be something called that Bahamians take into consideration going to the poll.
Oh, yeah.
I know some people are saying the issue is being exacerbated, but...
No, it's not. Because they're here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, everybody making all of these excuses for what's happening, but these are things that is happening... And it's not happening in the silo, is it? It's here.
It's here.
Anyone who have eyes can see. Right? All of these things, all of these... See, let me, my main thing is this, right? I voted for the PLP in the last election and the one before. My thing is this, right? It don't take much to change nothing. Immigration solve our crime problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this now. Immigration solve our crime problem. Immigration solve the problem with the health,
yep.
Healthcare.
Yep. School. Education.
Immigration stop the school problem.
Yep.
Immigration stop. I mean, I could go on and on. Social issues.
Yep.
If you solve this immigration problem, you solve all.
You solve all the myriad of issues, and these are. And you're absolutely correct, sir.
So what I'm saying, right? I don't know. I don't know.
Do you see them being poised for a second term? Because you said you would have voted for this government. So I really want to get the feel of what people are actually, voters are saying. Because a lot of times we have our own opinions of things that we see. But when we go and we survey and we talk to people individually, because I have one vote, you have one vote, Jeff has one vote. And for those of us that decide to exercise that right, to cast that vote for whomever we decide to, do you see yourself returning your member of parliament? Because that's where it starts, right?
Yep.
So we have to start there. Do you see yourself not just governmentally, but returning your member of parliament back to the House of Assembly? Do you have a PLP representative, firstly?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And at the moment, I'm on the fence right now. I'm on the fence. Why? Because I have some personal issues that I'm trying to sort through right now. And I don't want to say unless Mr. Davis... You see, everything rests and lies and falls on what he do. He might make a change. You know, he have a change of heart. He might have a change of heart. I don't know because I just can't see nobody doing the Bahamas like how this government is doing the Bahamas. I voted for Brave and Chester because I believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you calling us from the family island?
No, you know.
Okay,
no,
okay.
No. But I'm moving to Exuma pretty soon. I'm moving to Exuma because I can't mess around. Because
I would definitely like to hear from some of our family islanders as well.
Yes. We need to because, I mean, I just heard something about Exuma. I thought Exuma was a safe seat, but it turns out that Mr. Chester Cooper, I don't know who's going to run down there for the FNM. I don't know who's running down there for the COI, but there's some rumblings in Exuma, mm-hmm. and it has been rumblings in Exuma for the last, from the new year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, caller. Thank you so much for that. But Jeff, before we get to what the caller said, I want to read a text, a few of your texts. It says, Gabby, you are an exciting and refreshing host. The PLP gone. We are tired of them because they have the Bahamas in a big hot mess everywhere you look. That's a texter. The next texter says, oh, Lord, this is a long text. Nice show. I would like to say that I am not voting for the PLP or the FNM already had their time, and they have failed us miserably. I am newly converted COI, and I want to give someone, in fact, anyone besides the two parties, I want to see change in my lifetime. I am appalled by... on. I have to press Seymour. I'm appalled by the support for the PLP after all these years of neglect. Thank you. That's coming in from a texter, Jeff. But I want to say, though, a few callers ago, the caller mentioned us talking about the same things from show to show. I think people have to constantly bringing these issues to the forefront. These shows, these spaces, Guardian Radio allows for you, the callers at home, to get in on the conversation, Jeff, to get your voices heard.
Well, you know, some years ago, this opportunity wasn't even afforded.
Nope.
And, you know, I'm going to go on record and thank our former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram, who was very instrumental in opening the airwaves. You know, we were in our silos talking amongst ourselves, and the populace did not really get a true picture of how the vibration was on the ground with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But now today, you have the freedom to express yourself. Let your voice be heard. Remember, as I always say on these shows, the people who are in our parliament, they are not our gods. They are not our bosses. The Bahamian people are the bosses. And if you do not tell them or demand them to do better, that's the purpose of critical conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, many of them do not want to hear the critique. Many of them do not want to hear it. But you have to let your voice be heard, or sit down and continue to allow the abuses to continue, and you just suffer through them. But many persons are now being very brave, pardon the pun, to open their mouths and let their voices be heard. The victimization and intimidation tactics are no longer prevalent with a whole lot of people. Yes, the victimization and intimidation still goes on today. Mm-hmm. But a lot of persons are now opening their mouths and trying to get across to the people who we have elected in our parliament to do the work of the Bahamian people.
Jeff, this texter says, nice to hear Jeff on the airway. 52 should be your guest too. 52, I haven't heard from you. If you're listening, please call in and chime in. The texter loves hearing from you. And that's the thing, Jeff, even as callers, as nationalists, people being a part of the conversation, there are people at home listening to you all and finally deciding that, hey, it's something that Jeff said, it's something that 52 said, it's something that maybe even Anton said, and all of these callers that call in and blend their voices, they have something to offer, they have an opinion, and that's our right as Bahamians to give it.
But you know what's the beauty with this whole conversation? I want everyone to just open their minds for a second and listen to even the ones who are chronic callers. You know, the contribution we make on a daily basis on these radio talk shows. You know, if we were all to come together, we could actually begin a new revolution in this country that pivots and moves this country in the direction that we really want, instead of the same old. You talk about the old elderly persons in our parliament still being holding the top seats or holding the seats hot in our parliament. But remember, these persons are going to move off the scene in their own time. In other words, they're going to relegate and move off the scene. Who are going to fill the shoes or take the places of these persons when it comes down to nation building? We want to build a successful nation, because when the nation is well, the people prosper.
Wow, Jeff. Let's see what this caller has to say. Caller, what say you?
Yes, good evening. How you doing?
52, my brother.
52, I was trying to call you from the other day, but you wouldn't answer me. And Thomas, you called me back. I was so caught up. But anyway, we'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, but I used to be busy. You know, I do a policy work, so it's very time consuming. I just happened to be in the shop getting ready to go pick up my children from somewhere. And so I heard you. I was listening in and out, and I heard Jeff on the radio. I say, wow, that's kind of peculiar.
And the Texas says they love hearing from you. So I'm so happy that you could call in, because there are people that look forward.
I'm glad they probably checked out something that I've said and realized that I beg people to go and read up and listen. Like Jeff said and like you were saying. And so even as we listen to Anton and C. Allen and everybody, what they call chronic callers, the only disease they have is chronic sinusitis. But I like to say this. You know, I really hate to comment. I'm sorry, even for the status of your mom and all.
Yeah, I mentioned that she's at home now. She's out of the hospital. She's recovering, doing much better. So I want to thank the doctor so much at PMH for taking good care of her.
Yeah, well, we thank the doctors also, but you know, at home, the love will finish take care of her.
Yes,
you
know, she actually recuperated much better when she got out of there.
The love is really therapeutic, and it's simple things that when my parents got old, they would always want to just even spend time and talking. So I'm preparing myself for that particular model of life where everybody ignores me, right? Yeah, because I'm doing everything right now. I'm telling you, but as it relates to politics, I don't really like to comment, but throughout the week, we've been hearing various callers. You know, Anton was voicing something as it relates to sovereignty or what I will dub geopolitical bullying by these impositions. I didn't agree with everything what Anton was saying, but I was trying to show you the public. Sovereignty is asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Once a nation don't have the military might to enforce sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
and the juxtaposing the United Nations with the infringement of sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that most people, they call conspiracy theorists, but Alex Jones is talking about for decades, is the getting rid of nation states and nationalism. And most people don't even know that it's under attack. And so when the New World Order comes in place, that is one of the things they have to do in order to fuse everybody and unite the world. Mm-hmm. You have to get rid of nationalism. And I don't care what nobody says. Just go and read up for yourself. But well, what I like to say is that relate to politics, and I love the last Texas as far as getting rid of the regressive Liberal Party, right? And the likes. Michael Pender is a schoolmate of mine. I wouldn't like to totally dismiss him, to be honest with you, but when we look at the legacy and the years of neglect as it relates to immigration, not addressing the corruption, and just the proliferation of whatever is going on there. I hate to say a word, right? And so for me, as I've been calling out, and Governor Santos and other people saying, just give me a simple shantytown act to stop them from squatting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They are benefiting from this xenophobic BS. Now, I live in the inner city, and I like to share this with everybody. All of the talk shows and everybody who sit and talk about Asian migrants and the xenophobia, I live with Asian people. I spend money with them. Some of them are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, just last week, Gabby, I want you to listen very carefully. A young Asian Bayman guy who grew up with me all the while, treat them like a brother, still a brother. And some of them know me. And if you come in the community and ask about me, they'll tell you, I used to give them school money as they go to school. So he said to me, oh, he hear me on the radio. And he always hear me on the radio during the pandemic, whenever. And he said to me, I hard on his people. And I explained to him. I wouldn't even call his name. Because he works over the fish. I said, man, I'm not hard on your people. Your people is making it hard on me.
Thank you.
I'm living in the inner city. And Gabby, no one is interested in how we feel when we wake up and see a strange face or see the proliferation in our community.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. But there's no xenophobia here. So the people who are saying xenophobia, they don't live in the inner city and they don't see strangers every day.
Yeah.
We don't know and threaten our way of life and whatever it be. I'm just speaking from my standpoint. I don't hate anybody. But you're not looking at it from my perspective. You know, all of everywhere you look, they are just inundating the place. I'm not even the business ones. I go and support their business. It doesn't matter to me. If they have something I need, I go and buy it. I don't believe in that type of schism. But the fact that the government is playing on this and seeing the belligerence and the anti-Bohemian rhetoric against the Bohemian, and then they're allowing people to come on and then infuriate the Bohemian on TV, the hosts will entertain that. But they would never, ever lambast these people for some of the social media narratives, negative narratives. Nobody's trying to bridge the gap. Not even Luby George. Nobody wants to bridge the gap between the Asian and the Bohemian community. As I live in the inner city, we already did that. But it's by they coming in by so much. You're seeing people every day that you don't know.
And it's millions of them to our 300, when you look at, because you have 400,000 people, our population is estimated at about 400,000 of us now, right? And that's a mix of persons who gained citizenship. That's not just born Bohemians, right? So when you look at even that, if you just categorize everyone that has Bohemian citizenship, 400,000 people to a place that has millions of people.
1.2 million.
But not cutting you up because I got to go and I don't want to hog up your show, but you're very intelligent, Gabby. So as I was saying all along, numerology, I don't need to say all of those words. So the fact that people are not acknowledging this numerology, and it was something that Anton had said too, that trick kicked off something in my mind, but I can't remember it right now, but it is very important to the situation we're dealing with. And so, yeah, Anton said that notice with the Trump administration, it was basically the Haitians he were really saying, he was mentioning Haitians, and so as it relates to this particular this model, what he's doing. And so for us, as a small country, You're trying to tell me now that if America, the big Leviathan to the north, they don't have a national security concern, but a small nation like us, if you don't have a national security concern as it relates to the fraudulent documents and the the numerology of the population of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's a losing battle, but yet still the xenophobic cry is what all they're saying. And those these people, I don't care who they are, they don't live in the community to tell me with no xenophobia, because there's no xenophobia.
No, it's not.
For me personally, now, I don't know about other people, because some people, they say, well, all Haitians got to go. All Haitians can't go, because we have miscegenated, in case those who know the word. Some of them love us and some don't. And we are hearing a lot of narratives, and I've had Haitians tell me, too, they don't like behemoths. So the point is, those who love them so much, go in Haiti and see if you could do what they do in here. Shut your, your government has let me down. Jeff, for a long time now, for a couple of years, they've been saying that. You need to should pass the Shanti Dana.
Listen, it's,
see,
been,
also,
it's been long, long overdue. In fact, every time I hear it, there's an old adage that comes back to mind and says, when in Rome, you do, do like the Romans do. So in other words, what's happening here is our whole environment is changing to an environment that they claim that they are trying to escape from, and they're bringing that here.
Yes.
And that
it's an imposition.
Yeah.
And so I told, and sometimes I say words just to get people's attention. And some people say we shouldn't say this. But it's imbecilic for us to think that if we allow a parallel society within our society,
exactly.
And then these people's way of life become predominant, and they want to subjugate us, and you see the narratives that they are saying on social media, even as it relates to Turks and Caicos, they have business head, they have this type of head, they have, man, all us from Africa, and all us the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that BS. Everyone, you know, one, you infuriate me in my own country. You don't appreciate it. And like the guy on social media say, we have to stand together, because what I'm saying is the politicians are benefiting from this schism.
Exactly.
And so the years and decades of neglect shows me that they need to go. It should be intuitive. It's a no-brainer. Give thanks.
Thank you so much, 52. We appreciate your contribution always. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Gabby, and good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon. That voice sounds familiar.
Yes, I'm glad to know that your mother's home doing well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I trust that everything goes well, and, you know, after having the undergo what she had to endure in the Princess Margaret Hospital.
Crumbling conditions.
So
crumbling.
I mean, I know it is so substandard. You see what annoys me about Princess Margaret Hospital? When I think about an embassy being built in less than 4 years, and we started renovation on Princess Margaret Hospital in 2019 during the pandemic, and it's seven years later, and it's not even being complete, notwithstanding the other aspect of the hospital that continue deteriorated.
But I thought we're getting a new one.
But,
how in the world could you say you're getting $300 million to construct a new hospital, and you literally have the Haitian literally dying from the lack of adequate care at PMH, medicine, doctors, and the like, and you're saying that you're spending $300 million is forecast.
Charlie, AC and they're still in working. I've been up there for 3 weeks. AC and they're still in working.
And look at the location, but people are dying literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I agree with them, basically everything that 52 said. Where's the common sense approach to this? Huh? Notwithstanding the immigration problem, which immigration and crime is the two main issues for this election.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have our immigration problem has went so far. Like I said, there was only two ministers. And I've lived long enough to see 2 ministers, the late Loftus-Roker and Granville
McCartney,
who's still with us.
Yep.
They're the only two persons
who really
did something in immigration as far as I can say.
Yep.
Every other immigration officer, PLB and F&M, has been a total failure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Notwithstanding our present condition, which has even gotten worse.
Wow. Thank you so much, caller, for your contribution. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good evening, Gabby. How you doing, sister?
Good, good, good.
You're doing a good job, Gabby.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
The thing with this topic today is you're either for or against, okay, possibly. I think that's kind of all you find yourself. I heard one caller say he's still on the fence.
Hmm.
I can't be on the fence, Gabby.
No.
I ain't gonna lie. I can't. I can't take another 5 years of this PLP. I can't. I have to move out if we got to do another 5 years of this PLP. But What I want to speak to is the fact that this current administration sits as the beneficiaries of the lowest voter turnout ever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not think or believe that the next election cycle is going to warrant the same thing. I believe this time, that this 4 years, 5 years that we've spent, we've had to live dealing with the reality that all of us didn't choose this. And the majority of us didn't probably want this even. It's just enough of us went to the poll that got the PLP elected in a low voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the PLP is very cognizant and mindful of that point, but they're hoping to paint a different picture to us as a people, with the hope that we forget that a large number of people in every constituency did not vote. And as a result of that, I believe, within my own heart of hearts, my hope is that when the tide rises and the vote comes back in, as if it's coming from ebb tide, that the PLP is gone. I believe that they have now less support than they did going into office. That's my personal opinion. Election day will tell us whether that's the case or not. However, while I'm on the ground and talking to people, I'll tell you one thing about the Bahamian people. Gone are the days of the Bremer Road riot and the general strike and so forth, and we used to kill on by.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of us who are here today, when you see we get kind of quiet like we are now, we can deal with you.
It's like the eye of the hurricane, not quiet before the storm.
We can deal with you at the polls. And if you remember, in 2016, I think it was, PLPs voted, I talk about, handsomely against the PLP in their yellow.
Mm-hmm.
2017.
Just to get rid of the PLP. So I don't want them I've called this thing, one of your talk show hosts said it, this word, a mirage, this mirage that they've been trying to paint to the Bahamian people, to cause the Bahamian people to forget their malfeasance and the alleged amount of corruption that's going on underneath them. Man, we almost starting to become concerned whether they can be able to go to Walmart on the weekends, because it doesn't seem as if our borders are protected to the point that it's starting to become a challenge for the United States with the pile of drug and illegal contraband and human smuggling that's going on. And so there are some pressing concerns that I believe that the average sensible thinking ones of us as Bahamians have, that this government does not seem to care about. They're very, very, very responsive about responding to what people or anybody has to say about them.
Wow.
But it doesn't seem as if they have that same level of response when it comes to responding to us as it relates to the issues that we are enduring as a people. I have a problem with that.
Caller.
I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I believe that the Bahamian people is being very humble, as we normally are. We're not a
patient
people or a society that normally gets up and protests and mass numbers. And we don't do that because why? Everybody got light bill to pay, school fee, this. We do this trying to keep
that's
our
what Jeff
lives
was just
afloat
saying.
And above board.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it's time to dip our finger in the ink, Bush crack.
Man,
gone. I am hearing on the streets, it is saying that the PLP is slack and Bahamians want the FNM back. That's what I am hearing.
Jesus, what kind of advertisement is it? Thank you so much, caller.
Well, what's so interesting about that is, and he's absolutely correct, the talks are happening. And as I said in my opening salvo, a lot of them may not believe what I said. I have a lot of persons who were like me, who at one time supported the Progressive Liberal Party. And you have many of them talking up against their party. People may look at and they say it's a numbers game. But I'm going to tell you, all it takes is one voter in an even election, one voter to swing for one party.
Well,
we saw
that with Rhys Shipman. Okay. Rhys Shipman in a PLP stronghold seat against a sitting prime minister in 2017 took him out by four votes.
And so to my Bahamian people, everywhere I go, when I hear people say they're not going to vote,
their vote doesn't matter, I always
have to remind them. There are people around the world in other countries who desire the right to choose a government that they feel would do their bidding instead of having persons thrust on them and they just do their garbage. your one vote, you may look at it as being insignificant, but your one vote is so important that people around the world dying for the right just to vote. Okay?
Carla, what say you? Welcome to the conversation today.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm okay. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon, my brother. Hello. I recognize the voice.
Yeah. Talking about the embassy took 4 years to build, right?
Yep.
How long the PLP been in?
Lord have mercy.
They came in after the embassy start, you know. That's when the embassy is, like, it's in the foundation. And, I mean, like, their grand opening was on the 2nd. And I think that the Bahamas government had ample time to have that road there paved, man. That road in front of the embassy is riddled with holes. Even the old embassy, you know, it looks almost like venomous and spiteful. Handed down from what's the name of me and him? What's good name? Mr. Mitchell. You know, I mean, it's too obvious. And then you go in the back of Carmichael area thing, all them roads look like you could land a plane on it.
Yep.
You know, it's like topsy-turvy. The city is left to ruin. Even when you look around by where Arawaki is on that's the western end, like if you're coming from out by Kentucky, all that, like, I don't know what's going on there. It's like just a dump when you're driving, like, towards them coming into town. But I guess that's what we have to endure as the Amians, with a government who claim to be building all kind of places all over the place, man. But our front door filthy.
Wow.
Hello?
Yes, caller. Thank you so much.
Another thing, right? Another thing, this proxy marriage with the Haitian people from Tandilwin and Independence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bad company is a serious thing. I know growing up, we were encouraged, you know, watch some company you keep. You know, we don't know who we keep in company with. The people come here and they talk in a different language. And it's all right. All right by the government, even all right by your radio station.
Wow. Thank you so much, caller, for your call. Next caller, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? C. Allen's on.
Hi, C. Allen. C. Allen, why are you calling at the end of the show? And I know you can keep this brief.
I'm going to take my time and hurry up, okay? but first of all, right, I don't deal in fantasy. I try not to speak about what I've been told, what I heard, what I believe, what I feel. I try to continuously speak on what I know. And just to speak to Julian, right, about the people leaving the FNM and leaving this and whatever else, we have a potential of 230,000 voters, right? And if 10,000 voters don't show up to vote or leave the FNM, that does not have a significant impact on the overall election, though it may, you could fix a particular constituency. And this is why when you talk about the fallacy of the 2012, where there would have been 19 different results had the DNA not been there. If you assume that the votes say that happened in certain constituencies, the seats would have changed by about 3. If you divide the votes that went to the DNA by 50-50, mm-hmm. because we don't have statistics to tell us that all of the people who voted for the DNA were FNMs or whatever.
Exactly.
So this,
I feel and I believe and all those different things, you know, the numbers have a trend. But I just want to talk about that because I'm not going to deal with those delusions. What I want to deal with is these things. We have an immigration crisis. We're suffering health insecurity with being overwhelmed.
Not according to the government.
Huh? We don't have an immigration crisis.
No, see, but the people know. See, what happens is, right, the one thing this government has mastered is the concept called gaslighting. Mm-hmm. They want us to negate our reality and accept their lining. This is why they hired all of the communications people in town, because they knew they would have to market success.
Yep.
See, the beauty is you can hear the advocates for the PLP right now. Have you ever heard them speak to their record? No. You can hear the MPs. They tell you, this guy can be worse than me. This guy can be whatever. But here's the thing. I can speak to the PLP record, okay? Record education being challenged, record housing insecurity, record job deficiency, And they say, yeah, everybody working. Some people got three jobs and still can't pay their light bill. Okay? Uh-huh. You have food, the food crisis insecurity people are facing. You have the immigration crisis. You have the crime crisis. There are record crimes and the fear of crime. Combine the two of those things. Because even if crime goes down, even by a fraction, the fear of crime goes up. Because there's nothing to negate it because people know there's out there. We have a housing crisis, and they have people talking about the 12,000 figures. It's not 12,000. It's 40,000. Because what happens is when you begin to look at what immigration, the amount of people they say and everything else, you know, it starts saying, where is the sink? Where is the solution? So the PLP says, oh, we put 20 people in houses. What about the other 10,000? What about the other 15,000 people? At 20, if every single year we need 4,000 new homes and we're billing, let's say we're billing 2,000, what happens to those other 1,500 people that need housing security? So,
well, right now, see, Alan, block costs, and I want to just stick a pin in there to add to the conversation. Right now, even as a young home builder, a block of cement costs about $3 and some cents and goes all the way up to almost to $4 and something cents, almost $5 for one cement block.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What house are you supposed to build?
But that, you see, this is the thing, right? When the housing thing is a number. If you're buying a house for $3,000, just take for $200,000 or $200,000, take 1% of that, and that's $2,000, and that's your monthly payment. Times that by three, and that's what you have to earn, $6,000 a month to qualify for a $200,000 house. Mm-hmm. Okay? Talk to any banker, they will tell you that. $6,000 times 12, okay, that's $72,000 a year you need to make to qualify mm-hmm. for a $200,000 house. The problem is this is an economic problem that we haven't grown the economy. However, there is a solution. If you go back to May of 2025, when the leader of opposition sat in the House of Assembly and said, I will bring land banking and I'll bring a housing revolution. And the mere fact that which includes a financing revolution. He explained what it is that it's going to take, you know, outside of it. But the media didn't carry it. Land banking totally transformed it. We talk about Singapore that owned 85% of the land and everything else. But let me tell you, for someone who is in the fintech business, in the financial service business, and you may not hear me as much on the radio going forward because I'm going to focus on an application of a solution for the housing crisis. But what Mr. Pintad said, because I'm aligned with it, will reduce the cost of housing. I want you to know the difference. There's the difference between home ownership and housing. You reduce home ownership, the cost of home ownership, but primarily reduce the cost of housing by as much as 50%. I want the economists, one day, you on your next show, we could sit down, you bring your calculator, mm-hmm. and then you could call, invite the accountants and people to sit, and let's talk about it. Why? Because we are 25 years into the 21st century. January 1st of 2026 makes the beginning of the second quarter. The walls that Mr. Brave Davis and others talk about no longer exist. The imaginary thing where the Coalition of Independence says everybody's in corrupt. Your mother, your daddy, everybody's ever been to Parliament. They've stole billions of dollars even though they don't show it in their life. And I am the only person that's not corrupt, and I can fix the Bahamas. Now, I know the platform for the Coalition of Independence. I wrote it. And they are not saying anything. I offered $100,000 if Mr. Lincoln Bain, to lead the coalition, can explain one thing on how he will do it. One, he got $100,000 towards his campaign because he can't explain any of it.
See, Alan, you got 1 minute. You got 30 seconds.
But let me just say this, right? Mm-hmm. The humans are now looking for a leadership, not political parties. Because I hear people, don't vote for political party, but vote for mine. What? Leadership is what's going to take us into the next century, right, to prepare. So we have to begin to ask the question, who is defining the ideas of the 21st century that allow us to grow? We have heard people speak about the 25, 27 different economic models over the years. My question to you, ask yourself the question, if the PLPs right now, and they have spoken about the digital economy, the green economy, the data economy, the climate economy, the AI economy, the technology, the orange, the aquamarine, the knowledge economy. If they've been there for 4 years and have not done a single one, what makes you think they will do it the next time
around?
So let's ask ourselves, who is capable and question these things? And you, I'm sure, I'm guarantee you, as I stand with the FNM, you will begin to hear how we could take a simple thing, the 27th economy. Imagine this. Put 500 people
not duplicating the same job in each of those economic models, and you got 13,000 new jobs. What if you put three in each definition? But you must know how to invoke it. And energy is the number one, and the PLP is quiet. Let me understand this. Transparency is not with the PLP. They said not on their run. Accountability, integrity, anti-corruption, freedom of information, that party say is not on their run. And none of the other third parties has the credibility and leadership to be able to engage people like myself and others to have a conversation of how it will be done. And I invite we have a conversation of ideas, not emotions, not personalities. And I feel and whatever. We are at a crisis in this country. And if we don't get it right in the next 25 years, but beginning of the next five, we're going to pay the price. Let me end. Find your purpose, develop your passion, dream again.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, C. Allen. I want to get some of your text in because the show goes by quickly, Jeff. You see when you're sitting here, it goes by so quickly. So I definitely want to, you know, pay some attention to the persons that take the time to text in. So I want to read some of your text. It says, hi, Gabby. You're awesome, too. Thank you. Don't put Antoine in the same boat with 52 or Jeff. Antoine is a PLP, but 52 and Jeff are real nationalistic rebels. Peace. Antoine always tells us that he's a PLP, so he doesn't hide that fact. I also, 52, if you're listening, the man tell me to tell you that his wife loves you. So you know you must be really making a difference. He tell me to call a name and all, but I ain't gonna call a name because I don't need your wife to come and go and get her. But 52, you have a lot of supporters on the airway. Shouts out to you again. This texter say, my wife was asked to do a COVID test at the hospital at the time of labor to have my son, now three, during the pandemic. Gabs, you won't believe the horror stories from mothers at the maternity ward. Mothers call in, the roof leaks, bathrooms filthy. I will let them call in. Now we still hearing the same complaints on the ward 5 years later. Yeah. Nothing has been done to the hospital. It says, good afternoon, host of Guests of Remark. Right now, the Bahamas is carrying the burdens of many nations of people that is seeking out opportunities for a better way of life in the Bahamas. But like one of the previous callers said, the immigration situation will continue to plague the Bahamas unless this particular situation is properly dealt with. Let me make it clear. I am speaking about immigration in its fullness across the board. That is your texters coming in from your texters. It's, yeah. So we have a call on the line. Caller, go ahead. You have about 30 seconds before Jeff and I wrap up the show.
What I got to say is real quick. Anyhow, it's just a response to C. Allen. C. Allen is a very, very, very smart dude. For my listening to talk show, I was always amazed by the knowledge that he has, right? But see, the knowledge what he has, Pindad don't have, Brave Davis don't have, and probably Lincoln Bean don't have. That might be a fact, right? But, you know, you're sticking on the leaders. Pindad versus Lincoln Bean versus Brave Davis. Let's keep it right there. And the two of them, to me, is compromise. Two of them. Two.
Thank
you. Right? I can leave that right there.
Thank you so much, caller. The last texter says, good evening, Gabby. I hope whatever party deal with immigration, but I don't see Pintad and the same old crew can't cut it. What is the PLP new crime plan? The PLP as in place. Texter, it's a little bit confusing. As in place. Angleston still look the same. That's coming in from a texter. But Jeff, we have about a minute. I wanna let you get in your closing thoughts. I mean, when we talk about these national issues, it's so much to be said. The dialogue, you will constantly have callers texting because the Bohemian people want to be heard, but there's no place for these forums.
There are two pivotal things that I would like to address in my closing remarks would be simply this. The immigration crisis in this country, and I am calling it for what it is a crisis. The immigration crisis, once we are able to attack the immigration crisis we have, we will begin to solve the myriad of other byproducts of this thing. A lot of people trying to dismiss it, but we have to call it for what it is. This immigration crisis, it is a crisis, and a lot of things are hinged on that. We solve that, a lot of things fall away. The second thing, you're talking about spending all this money to build a new hospital. But we have a hospital here, and you're not even basically taking that money, that $300 million, and pouring it into PMH. Fix PMH, which is existing, and then look at another facility if necessary.
At least get the air on. Yeah, at least get the air on. I mean, our time just flies by, Jeff. We have to do this again. We definitely have to do this again. If you are just tuning in, this has been Remark on Guardian Radio with your guest host today. I mean, I don't even feel like a guest anymore. Garth, thank you so much. As always, Garth is at home, but he will be on tomorrow on Guardian Radio Today. He'll be on tomorrow with his very special guest, Latrey Rami,
oh, wow.
Director of Communications in the Office of the Prime Minister. So you will not want to miss that from 12 to 2. God will be on tomorrow. Thank you all so much today in studio. Thank you so much, Jeff, Delaveau, everyone. Thank you to the callers. Again, I appreciate you. You know, let's just stop waiting on the world to change. Let's exercise our rights given to us in our Constitution so that we can all truly move forward, upward, onward together. Have a blessed day, Bahamas.